Quite a song, isn't it? When the roll is called up yonder, I was taken back to when I was about 7, 8, 9, sitting in a school desk. It was in the morning, probably around 8:45, and the teacher would say, give the roll call and say all the names of the students, and they would need to respond, here. Translate that into what we just sang. The writer was very confident as he was writing that song, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. He was very confident, wasn't he? When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Will you be there? I think the reason why he was so confident that he could say, I'll be there, was because in Revelation it talks about having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when we know that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then we can sing that song with that kind of confidence. I'll be there. When that roll is called, I'll be there. What a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing we can have that kind of confidence and courage and faith in the Lord. If you could kneel with me together as we pray to the Lord. Lord, our hearts are filled with joy and gladness to you this morning. Yet, Lord, we're also sobered as we think about the reality of that roll call in heaven one day. And Lord, it would be our heart's desire and prayer that there wouldn't be anyone that would be missing on that day. Oh God, we pray that even today we would make preparation again, Lord, for that eternal home, that time when we will be with you and there will be no more time and it will be eternity. Oh Father, we pray that you would inspire us and inspire our hearts this morning from your word once again as we look at your word, and pray that you would break the bread of life to us this morning and cause your word to have the power that it is meant to have in our hearts, in our lives. Pray that your Spirit would translate the word to our hearts and cause us, Lord, to be able to hear and understand what you want to say to us this morning. So we commit this time to you and thanking you and praising you for all that you have done for us, Lord. You are a good God to us. We exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wanted to thank you all for your prayers and support for my wife and I, and as we went to Concord, Indiana last weekend, and were there for Sunday or for couples night on Friday night and Sunday as well. We were very blessed. Thank you for your prayers and support in all of that. It's much appreciated, and there's a little flock there, and it's a blessing. As we look at the future, they're looking at ordination, and do pray for them in light of all of that. But praise the Lord that their heart beats with ours in just wanting to serve God and do His will. So, well, that's a real blessing. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, I want to start there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And read this verse here, and y'all have been pondering the things that are written behind me here on the board, and you've had some time to think about it, and I wonder what for title you would place above there, and maybe you'll have some suggestions for me. I have one, but sometimes it's nice to hear from you all too, so Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And then he goes on to list a whole bunch of things that he has blessed us with. And we won't go into those exact things necessarily and break all that down. But I just was so blessed and encouraged as I thought about what he's saying here in giving honor and glory to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Praise the Lord for that. And I don't know if you're feeling those blessings or not. And maybe by the end of the service, you will be experiencing and feeling some of those blessings and aware of some of those blessings, which maybe you were taking for granted before. And so we just want to think about some of those things. So maybe some of you have some thoughts that would fit here for a title on the thoughts that are up here, the different points up here on the boards. Anybody venture out here and give me one of those? Back there. If you're God's child. If you're God's child. All right. That's good. Dirk, did you have one? A child of God, yes. Spiritual blessings. I think they'd all fit. Exactly. That's exactly the one I have to put up here. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. And I know you could title it a lot of different things, but it fits for every one of those. And your suggestions do as well about being a child of God. And that is pertaining to all of these things that are up here on the board. And we just want to consider some of these spiritual blessings that we have in heavenly places in Christ. And I know it's for those who are in Christ and that we have these blessings. And I'm not sure if I fully understand all the blessings that I have being a child of God. Being, we were very sheltered. Most of us were very sheltered. Some of us maybe not so much. But most of us, I dare say, were very sheltered in our growing up experience. We were protected from so much of the sinful debauchery that we find in the world today. And thanks to our parents and those who have taught us in the ways of God, I think all of our parents, whether they were godly or not godly, still had a desire that we would turn out well. I think that's a desire in every parent's heart, that their children turn out well and are blessed and are prospering. And that blessing and prospering may differ in how they view some of those things, but I think you'll find that. And so we want to look at this first one here this morning. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. That's the first one we want to look at here this morning. And I have some verses we can turn to in Romans chapter 4. You can turn there if you like. In Romans chapter 4, we have these words here. And I realize they are taken from the Old Testament here, quoting from the Old Testament here. But very beautiful truth. In Romans chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 5. He's talking here about works and faith. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." And we will stop there. That word impute means to take inventory of it. And in the Greek, that's what you would find in the Greek definition, is to take inventory. So blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not take inventory of your sin. What a blessing, what a privilege that there is such a plan, could I say, God's plan, in place that we can have and know that our sins have been forgiven and that He will not take inventory of them. Wow, what a blessing, what a privilege we have. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. In Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2, he says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." And if you've come to that place where you know that God has forgiven your sin, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You remember the day when He took your sins away. And you remember the day since when you had sinned. And God, and you asked God's forgiveness. And God cleansed your heart again. You remember that time. I remember that very distinctly. How that I had this guilty conscience. And was guilty before God, and I knew I was guilty before God, and I feared death because I was guilty. I feared that that inventory of sin would come up against me at the day of judgment. But I also remember just taking hold of the promise of God. He that if you confess your sin, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I remember that taking place. And the freedom from guilt, the freedom in your conscience. And it also talks about sending our sins beforehand to judgment. What a blessing we can do that. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, where there's nothing to fear when we die. What a privilege. What a blessing that we have. Don't forget that. It is very vital in our Christian life that we don't forget that. You know, in Revelation, when Jesus was speaking there about the church there at Philadelphia, actually it was the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus it was. And He said that they had left their first love. When we forget that the man is blessed whose sins are forgiven, when we forget what all God has done in forgiving our sins, we come into that place where where we have left our first love. And I think it's important for us to keep that fresh and new in our hearts, to not forget that our sins have been forgiven. And I could talk about the price it cost. I could talk about the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ Himself, and what all it took for us to be redeemed. That's not where we're going this morning, but don't forget the cost. Don't forget the cost as we think about our sins having been forgiven. Let's move on to the next one. Blessed is the man who hears and obeys the word of God. Luke chapter 11, we have these verses in verse 27 and 28. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked." But Jesus said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." James chapter 1, verse 25, we know this verse. He says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In Revelation 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And just bringing out these verses to clarify in our minds that blessed is the man who hears and obeys the word of God. And I know this is no rocket science here that I'm preaching this morning. It's something that's simple. It's down to earth. It's our everyday life. It's the day-to-day things that affect us. And then again in Revelation 22, I'm going to turn over there in Revelation 22 in verse 14. He says this, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. You know that tree of life that Brother Mark was talking about, that Eve took of that fruit, or not the tree of life, that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But because they had taken of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and had sinned and disobeying God, God had to drive them from that beautiful garden. Why? Because they would have eaten of the tree of life and lived forever. And God said, you can't do that. I'm holy. I can't put up with sin. And so they were driven out of the garden. But here he says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to eat of the tree of life. We're blessed when we hear and obey the word of God. We have right to eat of the tree of life. What a blessing. I want to eat of that tree one day. Do you know where that tree is? It's in the first part of this chapter. It says that he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and then in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. That tree is in heaven. That tree is there by the throne of God, and there's a river flowing out, and he's just trying to bring a picture in our minds where this tree is. It's with God. I want to eat of that tree one day. I trust you do too. Blessed are they that do his commandments. We're so privileged. You know that we are privileged? Have you thought about that recently, how privileged you are to have the word of God? How privileged are we? Some of us have two or three at home of the Word of God. Do you know there are people that have none? They've never laid their eyes on the Bible, the Word of God. There are people that are desperate and would love to know the Word of God like you and I know it and have it. They would love to hold it. Some would just like to have a page of it even. It would be so precious to them. I had to think about where would I be and where would you be if you have never heard the Word of God. Never heard it. Let alone to keep it, but never heard it. Where would we be? We'd be like many of the people we see, actually, and meet day to day, we'd be like that. Those who have never heard, what a privilege. Blessed is the man who hears and obeys the word of God. I don't know how it is for you, but I trust you never get tired of hearing the word of God. We come on Sunday morning, we sit here with eager faces and hearts that are ready to absorb and so on. How is it when you're at home in your quiet time with the Lord? Is it with that kind of eagerness as well? Lord, would you just show me something today? Would you just lay something on my heart? Reveal something to me from your word. And let it be precious. Let it be precious. How is it in a family devotion time? You're still waking up and, you know, most of the time. Or how is it? Is there an excitement? Is it precious? Blessed. Blessed is the man who hears and obeys the word of God. You think about majority right now. I'd like for you to think about majority. Think about all the people in the world. How many people are there in the world? Does anybody know? Anybody have any thoughts? 7 billion, maybe 8 billion, I'm not sure, somewhere in there. Not sure exactly, I didn't look it up. That's a lot of people. Do you know that majority of those people know very little or nothing of this blessing that we're talking about, of hearing and obeying the word of God? It's sobering, and yet it should provoke us of the preciousness that we have in our hands. What a blessing. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who prays. I want to think about that a bit. Blessed is the man who prays. Proverbs 8, verse 34 and 35 says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." And again, I want to turn over to Psalm 65. Thinking about prayer and the blessing it is. In Psalm 65, verse 1 says, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." And I also was thinking about the verse there in Matthew 11 where Jesus gives that great invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I was thinking about what our life would be like without prayer. And there again, we could go back to majority and we'd find the same thing. But what would your life and my life be like without prayer? Now, I know that many of us maybe could grow in that area of prayer and spending time with God and communion with God. I realize that, but I'd just like to provoke us a bit about the blessing that we have to be able to come to God with the needs that we have, to be able to approach Him, the great Creator, the one who has made us, the one who has made the world that we see. And we can approach Him. And we can come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy and help. And I know we have talked about it different times. How can somebody that doesn't know God go through some of the hardships and the struggles and things that they go through? And just this past week, we've been reading through a book from a prisoner in North Korea. And this was actually not back in the 1500s, as you might think, or whatever, but it's back in the 1980s and 90s. And, you know, my wife and I got married in 91, so it was back, she was still in prison during that time in 1992. And the awful things that they went through as prisoners. And I don't know where things are at today, but I wonder if not some of those things are still very prevalent today in some of the prisons. But awful things. I mean, things that you and I can hardly wrap our minds around. the wickedness and the ungodliness and the evil. And this lady came to the Lord during kind of the end of her prison stay. I think she was being drawn by other Christians who were suffering in much even worse ways than she was, which she was suffering tremendously as well. But it was unbelievable. They lived like animals, and they were even told that in order to survive, you've lost all humanity. You're an animal, and that's how they treated them, even worse than animals. The pigs got treated better than they did, and so it's just phenomenal. And that is a life without prayer. That is a life without knowing God. That is a life without hearing the Word of God and knowing the things of God. It's a life like that. Ungodliness and wickedness. And the blessing that we have to be able to kneel down before the Lord and just talk to Him and pray and seek His face. What a blessing that is. What a blessing. What would your life be like without it? You know, it's a blessing that we can pray about all kinds of things, big things, little things. God invites us to come about anything. We can talk to Him and just tell Him our feelings, and that's okay. He wants us to come that way. Pray. You know, and you start asking for specific things, and isn't this exciting? When we ask for something, whether it's with our children or for ourselves, and we ask God about something, and God does it. Marvelous. That's exciting. We realize God is real. Like we sang, He lives. He is alive. He heard me. You know, we shortchange ourselves when we don't utilize prayer. We shortchange ourselves. Blessed is the man who prays. Blessed is the man that watches daily at my gates. Blessed is the man who is waiting at the posts of my doors. God invites us to come that way. Blessed is that man. Let's move on to number 4. Blessed is the man who trusts God. In Psalm 2, verse 12, kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Psalm 40, verse 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And I just want to lift that up here this morning as well. There is something about it. We have a choice in the matter that we can make whatever we want. We could make other things our trust, and a lot of people do. A lot of people trust in money. Some trust in horses and chariots, the Bible says. You know, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. We have an active part in making God our trust. Now let's think about this just a little bit. Blessed is the man that trusteth God. Has God ever broken one of His promises? Has He? Okay. Heads are shaking. No, He's never broken one of His promises. Has God ever lied? You know, lying, that would break trust, wouldn't it? That would break trust when we lie. Has God ever lied? No, we know that He's never lied because He says He cannot lie. Is there any promise that He has given that He was not able to keep? Now, sometimes you and I make promises and we find ourselves that we've overshot. And we can't keep it. But has God ever done that? Has God ever given a promise and wasn't able to keep it? Is there anything that God doesn't understand? You know, now, if somebody doesn't understand me, it's a little hard maybe to put my trust in them, right? They don't know what I'm going through. They don't know my situation. It's a little hard to put trust in them, right? But has God ever been like that? Or he doesn't understand what you're going through? Or that he doesn't know about it? Can you think of one thing, just one thing, that God should not be trusted in? Can you think of just one thing that you sure wouldn't want to trust God in? Blessed is the man who trusts God. Blessed is the man who trusts God. It's a choice that we can make to make the Lord our trust. Do you know what else it does? It brings him glory when we trust him. When all is dark and we can't see the future, we don't know what the future holds, and yet we choose to trust God who holds the future, and we trust him. That brings him glory. When we trust him, he is worthy to be trusted. He is very trustworthy. And there again, we shortchange ourselves not to trust him. And it's our own selfishness and pride that we don't trust him. I don't know what all is involved. Why didn't the children of Israel trust God? You know, God took them from Egypt, brought them out with a mighty hand, brought them to the Red Sea there. And they were in anxiety because there was mountains on each side and the Egyptians were behind them, pursuing after them, and the sea was before them, and it was like Moses had let them right into a trap. And then God marvelously divides the Red Sea, takes them through on the other side. They saw the glorious things that God had done. They sang the song of Moses on the other side, and they rejoiced. And 3 days later, they were murmuring and complaining in the desert. What happened? Somewhere their trust in God was lost. Where are we at? Blessed is the man. You find somebody that is trusting God, there is joy written all over their face because they know their God. They know they can trust him. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. And what did he say? What did he say to Darius? He didn't know if God would deliver him or not, did he? But he trusted God. And God delivered him. God delivered him from the lion's den. The three Hebrew children who were cast into the furnace, they said, we don't know if God will deliver us from this fiery furnace or not, but we won't bow to that idol that you want us to bow to. And they were willing to face whatever it took. They were willing to give their lives. And they cast them into the fiery furnace. And guess who was there? Jesus himself, the Son of God, was with them in the fire. They came out and nothing was burnt on them. Nothing was burnt. And they didn't even smell like smoke. That's better than most of us do when we fire the stove. You know, we begin to smell like smoke. We weren't even in the fire. These men were in the fire, but they trusted God. Blessed is the man who trusts God. Number five, blessed is the man who fears God. Think about that. In Psalm 112, verse 1 through 3, he says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Psalm 128, I'm going to turn over there. In Psalm 128, in verse 1, he says this, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants around about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." What is more precious and valuable than to sit at the table with your family and just enjoy each other? Or sit together in the living room together, talking and sharing together? What is more blessed? And he says, blessed is the man who fears God. And in both of these, verses that I read, if you looked at it, both incorporated family into it. There is something about fearing God and being together as a family. There's something to that. And he knits it together. And I'm glad for the things that my parents taught me. I was thinking about some of those things and in the light of fearing God. And it started at a young age. I remember at 6 years old I started to school. And you know, school was school. And I had some things to learn. And I was supposed to draw some things. And I had a little picture there. And I was supposed to draw on this side, draw what it was, you know, a replica of this picture. And so I wasn't really taught, I guess. I don't know. It probably did smite my conscience. I'm not quite sure. But I took this, my paper, and laid it on top and just traced the picture. And I was supposed to draw it freehand. And my teacher asked me if I had traced it. No. Well, I am blessed that I wasn't, that didn't go unnoticed. The teacher took it in hand and I was spanked. I was taken to the furnace room and spanked. And not only that, when I got home, I was spanked again. Because if you got a spanking at school, you got a spanking at home too. This was serious business. You didn't mess around. That was the last spanking I got. The first one and the last one at school. But it taught me something about the fear of God. It taught me something about the fear of God. It's missing in society today. You agree with me on that? The fear of God is largely missing. And part of it is parents are not teaching it anymore to their children. And this is interlinked with family ties. Note that it's interlinked. The fear of God, the blessing of fearing God, is interlinked with our children for generations. He talks about, blessed is the man that feareth God, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Wow. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. And he says that, not only your children, but he goes on to say that even your wife is going to receive blessing. When there's a man that fears God, his wife even is blessed. Wow. You want a blessed wife? Fear God. His children are going to be mighty. The upright are going to be blessed. It has a rippling effect, you know, just like you throw that pebble in the water and it just, this ripple goes out. I love that picture. This is how it is when there's a man that fears God. It's like a pebble in the water and the rippling effects of it goes out to his family, to his children for generations. Oh, may the Lord help us that we would be of such. I know we haven't talked about what is the fear of God. That's maybe coming. But those are things that it's good for us to consider and to ponder and to learn the things that we need to learn, even as children. Children, If your parents are teaching you the fear of God, do you know why? Oh, they want you to be blessed, because this will be a blessing in your life. Lord, help us in that. You take the fear of God away from a home, and what will you have? You'll have chaos. You'll have rebellion. You'll have trouble of all kinds. You'll have confused children. You take away the fear of God from a home, and that's what you have. You don't have much left. I think there's even, probably we could say, a lot of divorce situations because the fear of God has departed from homes. We don't fear God anymore, so we don't take Him at His word. We don't apply the principles of His word. And so then the home becomes a chaos. Relationships are broken down because of a lack of the fear of God in our lives. The fear of God is very important, and we are so blessed. Many of us have been taught the fear of God, and we are blessed. Don't take it for granted. Let's look at this one. Who is chastened by God? Blessed is the man who is chastened by God. You see, when we think about blessing, you and I think about all the nice things in life, right? When we think about the blessings, we think about, having things nice and having enough money and enough to eat and a nice bed to sleep in. And we think about all the blessings. There's also other blessings that come our way. And I want this to be clear in our minds that the blessing of God upon a man doesn't mean he doesn't have any trouble. In fact, it might mean the opposite. It might mean he has a lot of trouble and a lot of difficulties. But let's look at it. Blessed is the man who is chastened by God. Psalm 94, verse 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Proverbs 3, verse 11 through 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his corrections. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, we have there the words there about chastening. Hebrews chapter 12, if I can find it here. Yes, here it is. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. We're going to break in here. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastisement, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And then again in James chapter 1, verse 12, he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Here we have the chastening of the Lord. And, you know, in our human mind, in our natural mind, we interpret chastening quite a bit different than what God does in our human natural mind. Here's how we interpret it. We interpret chastening from God as rejection. God's not pleased with me. God's angry with me. I can't please him. That's how we interpret it. But is that how it is? The chastening? That doesn't sound very blessed, does it? Blessed is the man who is chastened by God's. Let's think about these verses. Let's look at it from God's perspective in Proverbs 3, where we read, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." So we have two things here that God is speaking to us about on being chastened by God's. He's saying, "Whom the Lord loveth." Ah, that's different than rejection, isn't it? "Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Whom the Lord delights in, he chastens him." Because he delights in him. Now, how does that all work out? Well, do you know that God wants us to be like him? He wants us to become pure, clean, holy. Why? Because he wants to spend all eternity with us. And it's preparation ground right here in this life. "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. For whom the Lord delights in, he chastens him." And then we have this verse in James 1, verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endures temptation." Blessed is the man who takes on this chastening and realizes God is for me. He's not against me. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Also here, he gives us this blessed promise that now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It's not an easy thing. He's recognizing it's not easy. "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who feel rejected, to those who feel like God is angry with them, to those who feel like God doesn't understand and I don't want to trust him because he doesn't understand my situation." No! Blessed. It's a blessing when we can understand, yes, it's grievous, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In other words, who respond to it rightly. Say, "Yes, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this?" It's love. That's why it's a blessing. We receive God's love when we're chastened. We realize that he's delighting in us. When we're chastened, it says we're sons. You might not feel like one. It doesn't say you're going to feel like one. But he says you are. It's sonship. It's sonship to be chastened by the Lord. Don't faint when you're rebuked of him. Sometimes we felt that way, right? We felt like, "Lord, what are you going to lay your finger on next in my life? It's just one thing after the other. Lord, what next?" And we tend to want to shrink away. Oh, let's not shrink away from the love that God wants to pour out upon us, even when it's in rebuke or chastisements. God loves us. Lastly, blessed is the man who's ready to die. Blessed is the man who's ready to die. In Luke chapter 12, verse 35 through 38, "Let your loins be girt about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their lords. When he shall return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Revelation 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Blessed is the man that's ready to die. Blessed is that man. Blessed is the man who is ready to meet God. Blessed is that man who's ready to enter eternity. Blessed is that man who knows that his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Blessed is that man who dies in the Lord. You know, to die in the Lord is to be ready, isn't it? To die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Blessed is the man who has his loins girt and his lights burning. You know, that's a picture of readiness, isn't it? And we have to understand the Jewish culture a bit to understand what he's referring to, maybe. But he's referring to a man who is betrothed unto a woman. And this is Jewish culture, but he was betrothed to the woman, and then he's paid the dowry for this woman, and then this man, he takes his journey back to wherever he lives and prepares a home, he prepares the house to bring his bride to, and this picture is going on, and he goes on, and we don't know what all is maybe involved in all of that, but the bride knows that one day, her bridegroom is going to come. And he's probably not going to be able to get his cell phone out and call her and say, I'm coming. He's not going to be able to text her. He's just going to show up. And she better be ready. That's the picture. Having your loins girt about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. It's the same picture he's giving of us. Waiting in readiness for when the Lord comes or when the Lord takes us home. Ready to meet God. Our loins girt and our lights burning. Waiting for our Lord. He goes on to say that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Now we also know the story of the 10 virgins. And how it went for the five of them. They all had lights and they all had oil. And at one time they were all burning. But as they slumbered and as they slept in waiting, five hadn't enough oil. And they didn't take extra oil. And we know that story of how the five wanted oil from the other five that were wise and had brought extra oil. No, we can't do that. You have to go out and buy for yourself. You see, it's our own personal responsibility. We have to buy for ourselves. And while they went out, the bridegroom came. What a sad picture when they came knocking. Lord, open to us. He said, I don't know you. What a picture. Blessed is the man who is ready to die, who has his lights burning, his loins are girt. There's another story about having on the white garments, having on the wedding garments. And I think it's in, what is it, Revelation, he talks about having the white garments and not spotted, not having them spotted. It's all a part of being ready. You know, that when God calls, okay, so-and-so, whoever you are, it's your time. That when God calls, well, wait, God, I still have a few things to make right. I've wronged a few people, and there's some things that I need to straighten up first. No, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open immediately. You know, those things that we need to take care of, we have that opportunity right now yet. Those wrongs, those things we need to make right. Those things we need to clear up with people or with God. We have that opportunity today. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 18, excuse me, little different thought maybe, and yet very similar. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I was pondering that verse for a while already here, and it just keeps inspiring my heart. And in light of blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, who hears and obeys the word of God. Blessed is the man who prays. Blessed is the man who trusts God. Blessed is the man who fears God. Blessed is the man who is chastened by God. Blessed is the man who is ready to die. There is nothing of suffering. There is nothing of trial. There is nothing of temptation. There is nothing that compares with the glory that shall be revealed in us. If we overcome, if we are a part of the kingdom of God, if we are a son of God, you can go through anything if we had only know what's on the other side. If we just have even one glimpse of what's on the other side. That's what my grandmother said before she died. She said, if we could only see a glimpse of either heaven or hell, we'd be changed. We'd be changed. It wouldn't be the same for us if we just had one glimpse. And the Apostle Paul, he's saying, whatever suffering, whatever pain or hardship you're going through, whatever trial you're having, it's not even worthy to be compared with the glory, with heaven, with what God wants to give you. It's not even worthy to be compared. Are you a blessed person? How many of these could you put a check mark? How many of those could you put a check mark on? Blessed is the man. Blessed. If your sin's been forgiven, how about the word of God? How about prayer, trusting God? Having the fear of God, being chastened by God. You know, if it's clear from here up, if all these are checkmarked, I think we'd probably be safe to put a checkmark here too, that we're ready to die. Isn't that so? Blessed is the man. Are you blessed this morning? Maybe you didn't come feeling very blessed. I trust you're going to leave blessed if you know that those things are taken care of. If not, you can have it. The blessing is waiting. God's just waiting to pour it out. May the Lord help us to understand those things in our hearts. God bless each of you.